So what is heirs property? Heirs property is a subset of tenancy in common ownership. As you know, more than 50% of people in this country die without a will, and when they do, property passes through intestacy through several generations. And over time, after one generation, two generations, three generations, things become very fractionalized. People own 1/1024th interest in X and such piece of property, and you know, maybe several states away, great-grandfather, great-grandma owns some piece of property, and I think I own it with some second cousin here and there. And so, unfortunately, the rules governing these, or at least the default rules before this act, governing this piece of property were really counterintuitive for those who own such property. Many people, often low or middle income people, don't understand, as the people in this room do, how that form of ownership is really unstable. They think, well, if all of us own it, if it's spread among the entire family, nobody can ever kick us off our land because they'd have to go up and talk to every single person that owned part of the property. Obviously, as you know, that's not true, right? So these are the kind of things that would be actually problematic. This form of ownership is often problematic for these landowners. Why? Because they can't get access to the value of the land for improvements. If you own things in co-tenancy, very hard to get mortgages, very hard to get values for, basically loans for land improvement. You often prevented access to government resources. So after Katrina in New Orleans, many people owned property as heirs property. By heirs property, it meant, again, fractionalized ownership among families. They couldn't get access to the government resources that were available after Katrina because they couldn't prove up their ownership. It's often a major cause of minority land loss, and that is particularly through partition. So what's the problem of heirs property partition? Basically, as we said, fractionalized ownership among many family members. One party files for partition. As you probably know, if you own something as tenants in common, anybody, any fractional owner, any tenant in common, can go to the court and say, hey, I want out of this relationship with other people. I don't want to own this piece of property with these other people. I would like you to partition the land, right? Basically, get me out of this either through one of two mechanisms, partition in kind. Just give me my little partition in kind, just give me my little piece of property and split up all the property among everybody else. Or often more common, partition by sale. Just sell off the whole property at auction and give me my fractional share of however much that property is worth. So that's partition in kind or partition by sale. So often what the courts would do, across the United States, often what the courts would do is say, well, it's not worth as much if we just split things up, so we'll just sell the whole thing. Often that's also very much easier for the courts to do. The court can basically just say, hey, I know how to auction a property. We're just going to force auction the property, and we'll give you your fractionalized ownership, and you'll be just as good off as you would have been if we just gave you your little piece of property. Sale was usually by auction to a single bidder. Who is that single bidder? Often the person who filed for partition, right? What were the problems here, right? So, there's this idea of course, government forced sale of homeland. Any one person, any one fractionalized owner, I mentioned 1/1024th, there's many cases of things where people very small fractionalized ownership say, you know what, I want out of this ownership relationship and go ahead and sell off my piece, sell off the land and give me my 1/1000th of the land. Government says, the court says, sure, we're just going to auction it off, even if all of the other co-owners object, right? They say, hey, we don't want this to be sold. We don't want to sell, grandpa's farm. We don't want to sell this family-owned land. Anybody has the right to file for partition, right? Court would often only say, hey, it's worth more if we sell it all together. So that's the financial interest standard. We're only going to basically look at the value of the land when it's all together, which is often true, right? It's often true that when you sell land as a whole, that's worth more than if you sell a fractionalized piece. Often they'd be sold for much lower value at auction than the land is worth. Why? Because these would be usually basically fire sales, right? These fire sales, other owners can't show up with the money because often they're land rich but cash poor. So they're not buying the land. This is often exploited. So what you would see is developers would find somebody two states away, three states away. Often people that were not sophisticated parties for whatever reason, people with mental disabilities, they would say, hey, you own some fractional piece of land down in X and such county. I don't know if you knew that, but could we buy your piece of property for $100, $500? They're like, well, I haven't been on that property for four generations. I don't know cousin such and so who is sitting on the land right now. Of course, you can go ahead and buy that. That developer then again has the right to file for partition. And that developer would file for partition, basically get this auction land sale, buy these things at, you know, fire sale prices, often would develop it for, you know, they'd be the only bidder. They'd often sell it for 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times what the land is worth, right? So the courts would not step in and deal with this sort of shock the conscious standard.